baby, on MMA Junkie Radio with Gorgeous George and Go. This is what we do and why we do it, baby. We rollin'!
Covering MMA from all over the world, this is the premier stop for all your combat sports needs. MMA Junkie Radio from the Mandalay Bay Resort and Casino in the fight capital of the world, Las Vegas, Nevada. The lights are on and the mics are hot. It's time to get your MMA fix, junkies. Take it away, Big John.
Gorgeous George and Goes, are you ready? Junkie Nation, are you ready? Let's get it on.
From the fight capital of the world, inside the beautiful Mandalay Bay Race and Sportsbook, you are listening to the MMA Junkie Radio Show. It's the only show that matters, damn it. All right, I'm your host, Gorgeous George. With me, as always, is the devious and dastardly Goes, our ace co-host. Goes, it's a Thursday morning, early, and for the first time in like 3 weeks, we have a UFC card to look forward to.
We needed that.
We sure did.
We really did. I've been wondering why this whole week I've been kind of in a good mood, and it's because I have something to look forward to on the weekend.
Exactly. We already have some parlays that we've been laying out throughout the week, studying. And guess what else is on Saturday, combat sports fans? Andy Ruiz against Anthony Joshua.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of those early affairs. I think the main event starts at 12:45 p.m. Pacific on Saturday because it's taking place in Saudi Arabia. So keep an eye on that. And the Washington, D.C. card, I think, is going to be a 9 p.m. Eastern start time. Now, all that information can be found on the schedule tab at the top of the MMA Junkie website. And, of course, we have all that available on our app, which is free on all smartphones and tablets. And with that, we plan on giving you a little bit of a preview of Washington, a ton of news, and I think we'll end with a little bit of the art of trash talk, some stories that have been popping up regarding that. So buckle up, folks. Here we go.
Are you a football fan? Then you don't want to miss NFL 100, a USA Today sports celebration of the NFL's 100th season.
From the best on-field performances to the draft's biggest busts, we're picking the top 100 players, moments, and teams since 1919. See if your favorites stack up to ours at usatoday.com/NFL100. All right, guys. So Washington, D.C. is on Saturday. Alistair Overeem versus Jarzinho Rozenstruik. That's your main event. Marina Rodriguez versus Cynthia Calvillo. That's your co-main event. But there's some really, really compelling matchups here that have a lot to do within their own divisions. And I'm talking about the title scheme, as well as crafty veterans that have been around for a while, some needing wins, others that are just those little pieces that you plug into a card so that you can draw a crowd because their names have a certain amount of value. You know, but there's a little bit of everything, man. There's heavyweights, bantamweights. The ladies are getting down. There's a dirty bird. There's Thug Nasty. There's an old crafty veteran in Matt Wyman. This card's got it all.
You know, I think gambling-wise, it's a really fun fight or a really fun card. If you look at the matchups up and down, like, maybe they're not the most compelling or not a lot is going to be solved that night as far as title pictures or anything like that, rankings. But the matchups themselves are interesting. They're fun. I think this is going to be one of those under-the-radar cards.
Yeah, I'm really, really digging it. So let's get into a couple of the fights themselves as well as some of the little subplots that come from each one of these matchups. Now, remember, shout out to our guy, Dan Tom. He does breakdowns for the whole card on his podcast. So I want to give him a shout out there, the Protect Your Neck podcast. And that's available on Apple Podcasts, formerly known as iTunes. But he also does a big preview on the front page. I saw him and John Morgan filming one earlier for that main event. So if you just want to worry about the main event, you'll see it there. All right, Goes. Alistair Overeem said, "My career will not be complete unless I win UFC gold." I love the quote. I really do. I just don't think he'll be able to accomplish that because he's got to get past this beast, Jarzinho Rozenstruik. This fight's like a pick 'em. That's one. Two, he's got that big loss to Francis Ngannou. So something tells me that to get to the title shot again, he'd have to go through Ngannou. And then you still got, like, the winner of Stipe DC. Let's just pretend DC's not retiring and he just sticks around. That's a tough MO, mofo. And if it's Stipe, that's a tough mofo. It's like there's this road to get to. And then even then, who knows if he wouldn't have to go through one more cat. But either way, I just don't know. Now, that said, he's had a wonderful career. He was the Dream Champion, the Strike Force Champion.
K1.
K1, yeah, World K1 Max Champion in kickboxing. So he's a stud, don't get me wrong, man. And he would have no shame in that career. But the UFC one, that one's tough because right now heavyweight's pretty popping.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I don't blame him, and I love him for saying that, for having that kind of drive. But you're right. If you look at his career, the dude's accomplished a lot. Like, he should be very proud just on that alone. The good thing about him, though, is he's actually pretty durable. Like, he fights pretty often, and I could see a scenario where he's just that guy that was ready to go and pops in. And no matter who you put him up against, his striking is just so good and his submission game is so underrated that you got to give him somewhat of a shot, right, against whoever you throw him in at the top. So if he can kind of squeeze in somehow via injury in another fight or something, I could see maybe that happening. But you're right, as far as building streaks and getting that fight, that division's a nightmare to do. That goes for just about anyone.
It sure does, and I'm not trying to pick on him or anything like that, but he's kind of already mixed it up with a lot of the fighters, and what he's shown is that he can beat maybe three. Like, if on a four-fight run, he can win three, he'll lose that one. Mm-hmm. Or maybe he'll go 2-2 if the next four just don't go his way. He's not a 1-4 fighter or an 0-4 fighter, that's for sure. I mean, Father Time will change that at some point. But he doesn't really get on these losing streaks, and he's got – look at the wins he's got in his career. Alexei Olenek, Sergey Pavlovich, who I think is going to be pretty good, by the way. Fabrice Verdum, Mark Hunt, Andre Arlovski, Junior Dos Santos, Roy Nelson, Stefan Struve, Frank Mir, Brock Lesnar, Fabrice Verdum again, Todd Duffy. I mean, he has been around for a minute. So either way, I'm pumped up about his fight. The one thing I do like is I think he and Andre Arlovski were two guys, and I think it was under Greg Jackson, who were told, your chin isn't what it was. I'm not going to say it's shot or this or whatever, because I know the fighters get touchy when you hear that one. But it's just not what it was, and I think any fighter would agree with that. And what I like is that they fight knowing so. You know, like, Alistair gets really crouched down, and he gets his hands up, and he makes his strikes count. He doesn't just go in there and get caught up in some crazy firefight, you know, where all of a sudden the chin's left hanging out and then boom. I mean, look, I remember the Ngannou one. That was awful. But there's been some other fights where he's been in there with some heavy hitters and he's taken some shots or he's gone to a decision, you know, in some fights with guys that can hit and the chin's held up. But you got to protect yourself, and he's pretty good at that. That first under Jackson, and now he's working with Mark Montoya, and I think both guys are honest enough to tell him this is what we're going to do. We're going to maximize your opportunities but not expose you.
I think if there's a division where having a little bit of a weaker chin almost, I don't want to say it doesn't matter, but really, like, in heavyweights, they all throw so hard anyway and everything's getting thrown with bad intentions that I wouldn't say, you're going to get caught with shots that would just put anybody out, you know, at that weight class. So back at light heavyweight, I think is where you could really see it, like with Chuck Liddell and all that, like, that was a little bit tough, but here at heavyweight, man, everybody throws so hard that it's hard to say that guy's chin is going away because there's shots that are pretty much put anybody out.
Mm-hmm. And sticking with the heavyweight theme, do you think Struve and Rothwell's one of those, like, maybe not loser leave town per se, but just the loser, his stock as a contender? That might be it. Like, it'll be a while before you hear from that guy. You know, you'd have to bounce back with like four straight wins, something like that.
Yeah, I mean, Struve has had kind of his personal issues for the last couple of years now with anxiety and his heart and stuff like that. So I always feel like that guy, win or lose, could be just one fight away from saying, I don't want to do this anymore. And Ben Rothwell, he's been on a little bit of a skid, but, you know, throughout that skid, some of those fights, man, he's just been taking a lot of punishment. And, you know, even in wins, sometimes that'll happen. So I could see something like that. Ben is a really good fighter, and he's very well-rounded. And I think he's very well liked. He kind of has that like Roy Nelson pizzazz to him that I think people just kind of like him because he seems like the type of dude you could run into at a bar or something like that.
He's got like the Midwest feel, right?
Yeah.
So if you're like a Dakota, one of the Dakotas, Wisconsin, Minnesota, funny, you feel like dance. That's my guy right there. I'm gonna be a fan of him. And much like Al Strovering, he's been around for a long time.
Yeah.
In fact, he's got a win over Al Strovering.
IFL guy.
Yeah, yeah, he's a former IFL champ. In that Alistair, when he beat Alistair, it was part of a four-fight run that he had against Josh Barnett, Matt Mitrione, Brandon Vera, and Alistair Overeem. But since then, he's also lost three, and then there's been some time off as well. He needs to fill that in. Look, I thought he won the even-off fight, honestly. Mm-hmm. I think I had him winning over Andrei Arlovski as well. But whatever, you know, you can't rewrite that. This is a very pivotal fight for both guys. The co-main event. I mean, dude, we could spend the whole show just talking about this card. Marina Rodriguez versus Cynthia Calvillo.
That's going to be fight of the night, I think.
That's going to be a really, really good fight. And Calvillo, you know, I know it's just the open workouts, folks, but she was hitting the mitts really, really nice. Did you see a little sequence she had with the coach? And
no.
She kind of beat up Justin Buchholz.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. But, I mean, they put on a little bit of performance. But it really, really
they
got
have
the
a
crowd
great relationship.
Going. Yeah. And I have a soft spot for her because of Tough Enough. You know, she came through the amateur ranks here in Las Vegas. So, seen her up close. And she's just a nasty Latino fighter. I like her.
I do as well. But unfortunately for this fight, I actually picked against her.
Mm.
Just because I think the type of fight that she wants to have versus Rodriguez is the type of fight that may not work for her.
Mm-hmm. All right. By the way, shout out to you. You and like five others are right there, right, for the staff picks?
Getting close, yeah. We're running out of cards here.
Do you know how many picks you're behind?
I don't know. I can probably find out, though.
All right. Now, check this out. Four fights down. Cool. Aspen Ladd versus Yana Kunitskaya. Next week, you got Caitlin Vera versus Irene Aldana. One of those four is going to fight the winner of Durandamy versus Nunes, with the exception if Durandamy were to upset Nunes, and it would be a pretty interesting fight. I think the UFC would want to run that back. But otherwise, that division finally has like a little bit of law and order, you know what I mean? We're not just reaching, hey, give us the number 17 girl and throw her in there because everyone else is injured, pregnant, or, you know, hasn't been seen. No, I like that some of these ladies are kind of earning their spots.
Yeah, you know, you kind of, we talked a little bit on the gambling side on that fight, and you kind of scared me away from it. And I had a couple people come in and ask about that fight. Amanda Nunes has just been so dominant. It's so easy to just say, hey, I got her. But if you look at the price on it, I don't know that Jermaine Durandamy is like that much of an underdog, you know, against Amanda Nunes. She definitely has her spots where she could give her a lot of trouble. So that fight's compelling too. Like, mm-hmm. I'm excited about all this.
Yeah. Yeah. And that one's a week from this Saturday. And again, mm-hmm. on Saturday, the fight card will go at 6 p.m. Pacific. 9 p.m. Eastern on ESPN, folks. It's a big ESPN card. The prelims also on ESPN, 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific. So it's basically 10 fights on ESPN. And then we have two fights on the prelims, and those are on ESPN Plus. That begins at 5:45 Eastern, 2:45 Pacific. Also, Cody Stamann, keep an eye out on him versus Song Yadong. Yadong is actually a favorite in this fight against a guy that's 18-2. Overall, 4-1 in the UFC. We also got Rob Font versus Ricky Simone. Thiago Alves, who, by the way, has said he's going to try free agency after this fight. He's got like 25 fights in the UFC.
Mm-hmm.
He's been around for a long time, too.
Isn't he studying to be a cop, too?
I had heard that, yeah, about a year ago. I don't know if he is still going to do that while fighting or what.
I have the results to your question here. So, on our staff picks, when we have new people come on staff midway through the year, we just go by percentage. So Simon Head and Nolan King are at the top. After them is Dan Tom, who's been here the whole year, and myself, who have been here the whole year. Dan Tom is 209-117. I'm 207-119. So I'm two fights behind Dan Tom, and then you got the two guys at the top.
And who trails you? Aren't there a few people that are behind you?
Kenny's only one fight behind me, and John is two fights behind Kenny.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll keep an eye on that. But for sure.
If I can make a move, I can become the first ever two-time champ.
Got it.
All
right.
It's all about legacy.
All right. Look, we're going to turn the page a little bit from D.C. There's a lot to talk about, but, again, we want to touch on some of this other news. But I also want to give a shout-out to that Jairzinho Rozenstruik, who is stepping in on late notice to fight Alistair Overeem, is pretty much a pick-em against Alistair Overeem in the betting circles. And how about the fact that he was like, I ain't intimidated by Francis Ngannou. He said that, and we made a little story out of that. But I'm like, okay, he's warming things up for the future. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it seems I don't know about that, though.
Everyone else is pretty, I guess, intimidated maybe, or we just know that there's a giant out there. But I like that he already started answering those questions, you know what I mean? Because that'll lead into – this is like subtle trash talk, and it'll lead into something I want to talk about at the end.
Well, look, Francis Ngannou, we know him. We see him quite often. He'll walk by, he'll give me a smile, give me a fist bump. He's still intimidating.
Mm-hmm.
Knowing that I'm pretty sure I think he likes me.
Mm-hmm.
Even then, he's still intimidating. So I can't imagine what he would be like in front of you in the cage.
Yeah, they just clank, lock the
door.
Are
you kidding me?
Whoa. I was just fooling about, folks. I don't want to fight.
Yeah, somebody asked at the gym the other day. This is like 3 weeks ago or something. They go, hey, can you take a picture of me and Francis? I go, all right. So I go, and I took a picture, horizontal, right?
Landscape, horizontal, yeah.
And then I was going to flip it the other way, because sometimes people like to print them out, and some people just like to have it on their phone. And after the first one, Francis goes, why you not do it the other way? Like that, dude, you should have seen me flip that camera around. I almost dropped this phone. You got it, buddy. Took the other one. I was like, but even then, like, he's smiling afterwards. He comes over, he gives you a hug, and you're like, God, I know he likes me, but he's still intimidating.
Yeah, that's funny. All right. Look, for more on that fight card, again, check out schedule, and there's a lot of stories linking to Washington, D.C., but right now we're going to talk about the news. I don't know if this first piece is so much as news or just like water cooler talk, but Aaron Bronstetter had tweeted a picture of recent pictures of Jose Aldo Bantamweight Edition. And of course, those pics made it onto the blue corner. Goes, I didn't like seeing that.
I didn't like it either.
I Jose is a beast at 145 pounds, but he's trying to obviously reinvent himself. But he just looks kind of tiny, you know, and is that going to be good for the chin? Is that going to be good for the weight cut? I thought the whole time this guy wanted to go up, not down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he just didn't look right. I don't want to say he looked weak, but
he did.
He looked kind of like pale. Like, I don't know. He just didn't look right.
Yeah.
Scary thing. And other fighters are saying it. It's not like it's just the media and fans. Other fighters are kind of jumping in and saying, I don't know about this.
He's like standing between two other fighters, and the other two fighters are like pumped up, and one's doing the hang loose sign. Looks like Sonny from Bronx Tale. But Jose's just kind of frail in the middle, you know. He almost looks like how Royce Gracie looks if you take a picture with Royce Gracie now.
Mm-hmm.
He looks nothing like when he was younger. You know, he's just a little bit older. He's not his dad. He's not Helio Gracie just yet. But he just looks, like I say, a little frail. And I'm sure he's going to be a beast. I'm sure he's going to be awesome in that first round. I just hope that he hasn't torn up his body here in an effort to reinvent himself. Now, what do you think of every 10 pounds, folks? You know, like, I don't want to go to boxing. I sure don't want to go to every 5 pounds. But I'm telling you, there's a reason why some of these guys do that, you know. It doesn't really affect him because he'd only go from 45 to 55. But yeah, he didn't want to go to 55 for a reason.
Don't they say, like, if for every surgery you've had, there's, like, a certain amount of number or years that they take off of your life, right?
Possibly, yeah.
think about like
I know what, pneumonia and the flu can take years off as well.
Really?
Yeah.
Think about what happened to Daniel Cormier in the Olympics, right? An episode like that, something like that, that's got to be the same thing. Putting like your vital organs through those type of things.
Mm-hmm.
So I have to imagine if you're not careful, these little games here and there, man, like this can really damage your body. And he just didn't look right.
Yeah, I agree. All right. Here's somebody who slightly damaged his body in training, I guess this week, maybe. T-City, Brian Ortega tore his ACL. It's a partial tear, so the plan is to be back in about 2 to 3 months. He's already rehabbing. He apologizes for having to pull out of that fight, which is – so this week's Washington, D.C. Next week's Las Vegas. The week after that was going to be South Korea. He is out of that fight, goes –
That sucks. I mean, I thought on paper that's a really fun matchup. And really, I guess those are the two type of guys where it almost doesn't matter who you match them up against. It's, you know, they're just going to bring it. It's going to be fun, especially the Korean Zombie. But, you know, he's such a nice guy on top of everything, Brian Ortega. And he really, the people that love MMA for just the martial arts tradition, he's one of those guys. And it sucks for that to happen, especially one of these cards where he's just one of the guys that you're actually sitting at home waiting to tune in for. The good thing is it's a partial tear, and so we can get him back a little sooner than what would happen if, let's say, he fought and tore it completely.
And it's already been a year, by the way, since
last fight. Yeah, it's been a while, man. So it does suck, but, I mean, I guess there's a little bit of a silver lining in that.
Yeah, yeah, that it won't be another year. I get it. However, now what? We got 2 weeks to throw somebody in there against a zombie, and they got to fly halfway across the world. Who's going to do that?
Do you remember in that same scenario, it was Jorge Masvidal, I think, that took a last minute. I think it was like 2 weeks or a week and like 3 days or something like that, and he went all the way down there, and he fought Benson Henderson, and he put up a great fight.
Mm-hmm.
It was one of those split where
decision again.
Yeah, I think like if you think, man, if this guy had a full camp, he probably should have won that fight because I think it was a 5-rounder and everything. So I don't know. That's a tough call, but there are guys that are willing to do it. It's just scary, scary fight, and on top of that, you got to go all the way down there. I mean, that's such a nightmare.
Ryan Hall, Yair Rodriguez, Shane Burgos, Ricardo Lamas. I don't think any of them have anything lined up. How about Calvin Kattar? He just took that loss to Zabit.
Depending on how he took it mentally,
yeah,
I think this is like a perfect scenario for him to say, I'm just going to get right back into that mix.
Right.
But if it's one of those where he felt like I really need to go back and figure things out, then yeah, it's probably best to stay away. But something like that can throw a guy like Calvin Kattar right back in the mix.
Holloway's busy with Volkanovski. Zabit's pretty much the number one contender. Aldo and Edgar are leaving featherweight to go to bantamweight. Patricio and McKee, they fight in Bellator. I was looking at the rankings, and like 1 through 10, everybody was being discarded right away. Hanato Moicano's number 8, but he just lost to Korean Zombie. Mm-hmm. So that's a tough one to fill there for the UFC. But I threw out some names. If one of them's healthy and ready to go, I think it'd be a nice way to slip in there and either get back in the win column or continue the win streak, whatever their situation may be.
What would
and
you good advise?
Good luck to Brian T. City, you know, coming back in the spring, so hopefully 2020. What now?
If you're Calvin Kattar's coach or manager, what would you tell him? Because that's a very, very interesting scenario.
I tell him, look here, player. You saw what happened to Zabit. You saw, well, the fight with Zabit was a tough one. It may have gone our way had it gone 5 rounds. But we need to get back on that horse. And I think your stock is still high because you looked good. Even that was what I call a quality loss.
Mm-hmm.
So this guy's uber popular. Let's go over there. You'll be one of the stars because you're on the main event. They still got time to fix the poster and everything. You'll do the UFC a solid.
Money.
You get some money for Christmas. And you get back in time for Christmas. And, if you're ready to go, I think this is a good comeback fight for Calvin Kattar.
Tell him to do it?
I would tell him to do it, yeah.
God, it seems like one of those fights, like pivotal fights in somebody's career, though, if they lose it, where you go, man, that was the downfall right there. I don't know what I would say.
Well, it's either yes or no, so are you saying no? If you're advising Calvin Kattar?
I think I say no. No, you know what? I tell him, yeah. I think he'll score a lot of points.
Yeah, because if he loses, I think they'll go, what did I just say? He had to fly across the world, late notice, the holidays. What do you want from the guy? You know what I mean? So I think he's really in a good position in a way, you know, and I just would hate to see him go via KO or anything, but Calvin's usually one of those guys that's good at protecting his chin.
All right, here's what I tell him. All right. I tell him, take it, but I tell the UFC, give us 3 rounds, not 5. What do you want from us? Our guy's taking it on short notice. He's flying all the way across the world.
That's not a bad idea.
I think I would do that.
All right. You brought up Benson Henderson's name. He also pulled out of a fight. The rematch versus Michael Chandler is not a go for later this month. Sydney Outlaw will replace Benson Henderson and face Michael Chandler. This fight is scheduled to take place in Japan. That was the co-main event. The main event is still Fedor Emelianenko versus Quinton Rampage Jackson. You also got Lorenz Larkin on that card. That's a big fight versus Keita Nakamura because Larkin, I think, could be the first guy to challenge Douglas Lima now that Douglas Lima is the champ. So it's a very, very risky fight for him out in Japan.
I mean, I don't want to say it's heartbreaking because at the beginning, it's one of those matchups where we were kind of like, well, the first one wasn't really like a barn burner where you said, can't wait to see that one happen again. Like, you hope for a good fight. So when you think about the Japanese crowd, I don't know that they really like they wouldn't buy tickets or anything like that. I think it's one of those situations where you just kind of shrug your shoulders and just move on. But Sydney Outlaw and Michael Chandler is just not mouthwatering, right?
I just feel bad for Chandler. I think Chandler's got this special skill set where once again he would compete versus Khabib Nurmagomedov. I'm not saying he would beat him. Mm-hmm. But he has good fundamental wrestling, offensive and defensive. So let's say Khabib tries to take him down. He may, but it ain't going to be as easy as others. And if he gets him down, Chandler's very well at the art of scrambling and wrestling and all that. Chandler may want to take him down. Chandler's got power, though. He's got speed and power. Mm-hmm.
He would probably close the deal.
Khabib is just unique in that. You know, now I'm not saying if Chandler beats Khabib that he could just run through the whole UFC. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying he's unique to that special matchup right there. Could be that Chandler then after that drops the next two. I don't know. Or maybe goes 3-0. I don't. I always just wanted to see him at least test himself. And I think Chandler's 34 now. And Bellator, in my opinion, has let this kid down because they just don't give him enough opponents. They've tried to sign a guy here or two, but those guys aged quickly. One of them was Josh Thompson. The other guy appears to be maybe Benson Henderson. You know, he's also got the problem that he lost to Patricio, mm-hmm. you know, in that champ fight for Patricio. So that also didn't help his matters. But, all right, we got to move on. We got to move on to a few more things here.
Hey, can I pick the next topic?
Sure, yeah.
Did you see what's been happening to Mike Bond, one of our staff reporters?
What?
Okay. So those of you, we're going to switch to college football for a second. Clay Helton, the coach of the USC Trojans. It was just announced that he's going to stick around by our athletic director, Mike Bond. If you ever see what happens to John Jones on Twitter, the @JohnJones guy, it's basically that, but football. Mm-hmm. Our Mike Bond is getting trounced by USC fans, just telling him he's an idiot, telling him, what are you doing, this and that. Yeah. It's nonstop, dude. It's pretty funny. You got to go on there and see.
Isn't his handle Mike Bond MMA, though?
I don't know.
That doesn't tip them off?
But no, it's a bunch. And actually, the Times wrote a story about it. It's pretty funny.
Really?
Yeah, it's fan reaction. UFC fans contacted wrong Mike Bond to get Clay Helton fired.
That's funny. Now, that said, if Urban Meyer was ready to go, UFC done fucked up.
Right.
USC should have hired Urban Meyer. I don't care what kind of baggage or what happened.
But if it's anybody else,
I know that he had some sort of an assistant and something went wrong out there with it was a domestic abuse case, I believe. But, you know, yeah.
Clay Helton is meatloaf. It was good, but it's not sexy on a plate, right?
He's not steak. Yeah. I got you. All right. We got to go to another topic here. PFL has announced all the alternates. Dude, these guys shell out money, don't they? Mm-hmm. They got to tell 6 people to get ready. In fact, 7, just in case something goes wrong at their finals on December 31st. That's when the fighters fight for $1 million. Now, right away, Daniel Pineda is set to go in front of the Nevada State Athletic Commission as part of like an appeal because the recent test he had is showing irregularity, according to Daniel Pineda. Featherweight Alex Gilpin is kind of on ice, and he will sub in if something happens with Pineda. But Sarah Kaufman is ready to step in for the women's lightweight division. Chris Wade for the men's lightweight division. For the welterweights, there's Glyco Franca, and there's a second alternate in Chris Curtis. Why is there a second alternate?
I don't know.
Well, I mean, I'm not hating. I guess they're getting paychecks, right?
To train. Oh, you have to imagine, yeah.
And they got to weigh in.
They got to go all the way over there, too.
Bozdagit Ateyev for light heavyweight and Dennis Goltzlov. Now, look, PFL, on the one hand, I want to shake their hand and not just, like, stick my hand out. I want to use the left hand and cover their hand and, like, graciously shake their hand and go, thank you, because any fan that's tuning in, whether somebody's going or just tuning in, they don't just want somebody to win, you know, $1 million by not beating anybody, by not competing, you know, just because someone didn't make weight or there was some commission issue. So I love that insurance. I just love it. But, man, it's got to be costing them some money.
It does. I mean, you have to imagine. I'll give them this, though. For having this type of structure, they haven't really had that much, like, mayhem happen to them. So maybe they can't afford something like that. I think they did, yeah.
Wow. I wonder if they could tell, hey, Ateyev, you and Goltzlov both made weight. You guys want to fight? You know, like,
yeah, really.
20 grand to the winner.
Like, if it doesn't happen at the end, then you guys just scrap.
Yeah, because Ateyev will weigh the heavyweight. You know, he'll be a heavyweight. I don't know. Just a crazy idea. The other ones would be a little bit different, but, you know, because they all are gaining weight, whereas I believe Goltzlov probably just walks it around at a certain weight class. But speaking of PFL, goes in 2020, I want to see stuff like this. UFC vet CB Dolloway, no longer with the UFC, taking on Jiří Procházka. CB Dolloway should be looking to fight maybe in PFL. He's a name. That's what PFL needs, is a name. Look at this matchup. David Branch to face Alexander Semenko at RCC 7 on December 14th. Grab that guy, PFL. Grab him and grab Alex Shlemenko. And there, along with CB Dolloway, you got three quality middleweights. That's the division that went away, remember?
Yeah, no, that would be a great fight on any card, really.
And I think all of them would probably...
Very appetizing.
You know, I don't think RCC would pay more than what PFL pays. And RCC isn't... They're not going to give away $1 million at the end of a season. So I really, really want to see those types of names... headed towards PFL. They're on ESPN, too, for crying out loud. They've made it on ESPN. They're definitely on ESPN+. Plus. They're covered by ESPN, the website, and the TV station. So take advantage of that is all I'm saying. But, again, a big shout-out to just having those fighters, man, as alternates ready to go. How about Diego Sanchez? Everybody wants to fight Diego Sanchez. He's decided on Michelle Pereira at UFC Rio Rancho. So the UFC is going to... Albuquerque, and it's going to take place in Rio Rancho, and they're already putting that fight card together. It's got a main event of Corey Anderson versus Jan Blachowicz, Montana De La Rosa versus Mara Romero Barella, Rogério Bontorin versus Ray Borg. Borg is from Albuquerque, and I think De La Rosa is as well. Macy Chisone versus Nico Montano. Montana, I think, is from the Arizona area. Chisone is now training in Texas, but it's got a Southwest feel. Devin Clark versus Gazimurad Antigulov, and then Michelle Pereira versus Diego Sanchez.
How about Diego, last time he was in our studio, said, you know, his contract's up, but if he were to get a new contract, he said, they're going to have to pay me. Remember, that was his stance.
Oh, that's right.
And so he talked about how much, like, he feels like he's done for the company, and he said it wasn't going to be, like, give me an extra 10 grand or something like that. He said, like, I want to get paid. So it's pretty cool that him and Dana, yeah, probably got together, and I think they gave him what he felt he deserved. And come on, man, the guy's from Ultimate Fighter 1. He's still here.
Yeah. There's no real details on his contract, but I doubt it's a one-fight contract, right?
I doubt it, yeah.
Yeah. All right, well, good on the UFC. Good on Diego Sanchez for putting this together. Jorge Masvidal goes. He's going to do a little bit of commentating. He's commentating at Tito versus Alberto. It's a pay-per-view being thrown by Combate Americas, and that's Tito Ortiz versus Alberto Del Rio. Alberto Del Rio, more famously known for pro wrestling. Yeah, exactly. But Jorge Masvidal is going to be on the call. He's going to join Max Bretos and Juliana Pena for this pay-per-view for those guys.
I don't know how that's going to turn out. I love me some Jorge Masvidal.
You got to extract personality out of him. You know what I mean? It's going to be a job for Max Bretos. And
yeah, they're going to have to set him up. He's going to be hilarious at times. And the guy knows the game. I just don't know if he knows it at that speed that you have to be doing it as the fights are happening.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be fun, though.
Yeah, and that takes place on Saturday. And I believe you can get that pay-per-view, by the way, on Fight, F-I-T-E. Those guys do a lot of these types of pay-per-views. Mm-hmm. So check them out. I'll provide the link here before the show's over, but I know it's Fight TV. I just don't know if it's Fight.tv, but I'll check it out here in just a second. One thing that scared me, though, was like, oh, my God, when is this? It's this Saturday. Mm. I was like, please don't be next Saturday. I want him in Vegas cage side for Usman and Covington. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. He has to be. I mean, that if you're a promoter, why would you not want that set up for the next big thing? I mean, look at pro wrestling. You know, they were so good at that for so long.
Right.
It works here. It works in boxing. You bring. I want them to bring them in the cage.
Yes, exactly. And it is Fight.tv. It goes down Saturday, 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. It's a pay-per-view for those guys. They, in the past, have had Ryzen and Bare Knuckle, so... Fight TV, they're good people. All right, Johnny Walker goes. He wants to fight Nikita Krylov. It's in the works for UFC Brasilia in March. He didn't suffer a full KO. But by the way, people who just think that was his first loss, he's lost four times now. Three times before he got in the UFC. That was his first loss in the UFC. But he's been knocked out two other times along with this one. If you want to call them KOs or TKOs, it's under that column.
Probably had a concussion.
He is younger a little bit, and I applaud him. Would you have wanted a little bit more time before he comes back?
Yeah, I think a little bit more time would be good. I'm interested to see how he comes back and just how he handles himself in the cage, if you get like a little bit more of a serious Johnny Walker now, or if it's just the same Johnny Walker that we always get.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll see. So far, that fight card has Paige VanZant versus Amanda Ribas. Antonio Carlos Jr., also known as Shoeface, versus Brad Tavares, and Nikita Krylov versus Johnny Walker. And again, that's in the spring of 2020. Hey, what can we do, man? We just react. When we see it, we react. And I would have maybe hoped for like the summer of 2020. But what are you gonna do? It wasn't a complete KO, but you know, on his feet, he was pretty blasted by Corey Anderson. All right. Let's finish up with a little bit of a close on Trash Talk. All right, guys, we'll finish with this. I mentioned Jairzinho Rozenstruik saying, I'm eager to fight Francis Ngannou after UFC DC. I wouldn't call it Trash Talk per se, but it's commentary. It's the type of dialogue that gets people interested in fights. Whether it's going to happen in a year, like Jones and Izzy, that fight's going to happen. We don't know when, but they're just going at it with, you know, in social media via memes or put downs or bags or whatever you want to call it. This is just somebody saying, hey, that guy you guys are making a big deal out of, I'm not scared of him. There's a lot of ways to still get your trash talk across without having to feel like you got to sell yourself out, you know? So I just appreciate Jairzinho and the way he and what he said. He's got Overeem ahead of him, but I'm sure he was presented with that question. I just loved his answer. Now, two other things. Gregor Gillespie, I saw Danny Segura, latest addition to MMA Junkie. He did an article with Gregor Gillespie. Now, I saw the tweet earlier. It had been retweeted by Simon Simano and everything, and the part that was highlighted was him saying basically, yeah, I'm going to stay away from that. You know, he kind of went down that road. I think he called out Pettis with the Wheaties box, remember? Mm-hmm. And then eventually he got Kevin Lee. he was like 12-0, 6 overall, 6-0 in the UFC. He just wasn't getting the fights that he wanted, so he went down that road. He lost. And he's saying that he doesn't want to go down that road again because he feels like he actually, so far, what he was saying, I was on board. He's saying, look, I'm not going to fight forever. What if in the down the road I want to be a teacher? But then somebody digs up past comments made by myself saying, yeah, the guy I'm going to be facing, he can suck my dick. You know, like, why did he go there? And I was reading that going, what? I mean, if I'm a future employer of his and he fought at some point, you know, because I'm sure it'd be on the resume, you know, hey, since college, you kind of haven't worked. Oh, you were fighting. Oh, I probably would pique my interest. And yeah, maybe I would just make sure and see what he
you'd kind of get a person most of it though, wouldn't you'd you?
Get it, yeah. And that's not the trash talk I think change. We're looking for. We're not looking. Nobody really does that on daises, you know. Yeah. Like I don't like Colby's not going to tell Usman next week, hey man, after the match, you're going to suck my dick. I mean, there's so many other things you can say. Even the I always say corny, and God bless him, one of the greatest ever, Muhammad Ali. You know, just. Float like a butterfly, sting like a bee. I'm going to hit him so hard, his mama's going to feel it. That's all we're looking for, just something like that. Mm-hmm. Or KO, 3 minutes, first round, book it. That gets the people going, ooh, so-and-so, do you have a response? Oh, yeah, you know, and then that guy says something. Nobody goes to the card of suck my dick. I mean, this isn't the third grade. This isn't the schoolyard. Why did he go there?
At the very least, I mean, just tell us who you want. You know, a call out doesn't have to escalate that way. There's guys that say he's a great fighter. I'd like to test my skills against him. There's just no reason to go all the way back down to zero. I think you just need somebody to sit down with him and just explain, like, dude, it's not that serious. You know, like you can make a lot more money if you do some of these things. You don't have to go all the way Conor McGregor, Colby Covington, but you can do some things, right? Where just I do understand
if you say someone. I want to kick someone's ass. No one's going to hold that to you, hold that against you mm-hmm. in a future interview. If you just say, like, if you're a lightweight right now that doesn't have a fight, and you just say, "Hey, I saw that stare off between Felder and Hooker. Give me the winner. I'd love to kick that guy's ass." Something simple like that. You know, you just start to get the ball rolling. I'm one of the big dogs in this yard. 155 pounds. Something like that. I mean, there's so much.
It's perfect.
I don't get why he went there.
I get where he's going, but he's going too far.
Tough and frustrating to cover these years because remember, he doesn't like to predict fights. He doesn't like call outs. Yeah, he doesn't really like to talk much about the fight. I mean, you got to somehow direct it back towards fishing or whatever. Oh, man. And then when I saw this one, I was like, dude.
Think about when we take fighters on the military basis. Like, they do that. They go back and they look at your Twitter. They look at Instagram. And there's been a few times where people that we've wanted to take or have taken, they've brought some of those things up.
Uh-huh.
So I get where he's coming from. But we've never been told that that person can't come. Right? One of them was Colby Covington. So, I mean... I think we're in a new day and age, and I think I understand where he's coming from, but I think that leash has been extended a little bit more too as well.
I think he should have just said, I didn't like it. It's not me. And that's it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but you had said something and I'm going to steal it here. You said it before the show. Some of these fighters just need to get with people that are good at it and have people either write it out for them. If you just want to be a social media giant or get you to kind of rehearse your lines or just kind of have bullet points. You know, when you go up there and give a speech, you don't have the whole speech. You just have like an index card with some bullet points. Mm-hmm. But the rest, you've already rehearsed of what you want to say. Some of it's going to be from the heart. Some of it's going to be, you know, pre-rehearsed or whatever. I think you can go down that road and there's nothing wrong with it. How many times have you ever seen those? Now they have this show, and I don't know if it's still around, where celebrities rap battle against each other.
Mm-hmm.
You think they're not getting coached?
Oh, you know, or everything's written up for him.
Have you ever seen Shaquille O'Neal or Martha Stewart do the roast? Come on. You mean to tell me those some comedians aren't getting paid to write those for them? Now, they got to rehearse them and practice them. But, you know, there's no shame in that. I don't think there's any shame in going and looking at the predecessors of Chael Sonnen, Ric Flair, Gorgeous George, Muhammad Ali, Sugar, Floyd Mayweather back in the Pretty Boy, whatever. You know, any of those guys that have ever just talked a little bit of game. Take a little bit here, take a little bit there. But, yeah, I mean, you have to. I just think if you look back at all the big fights in the UFC, all the big rivalries, most of them, 99% of them were generated because of some sort of trash talk that was either fabricated or some real personal beef.
Do you know that
Jones and Evans, Sonnen and Anderson, mm-hmm. Aldo and McGregor? You know what I mean?
John Jones can use one of those Aldo, coaches too.
Aldo
by the
may
way.
Not have liked them, but he can say thank you for some nice paychecks.
Yeah. Do you know that show we were watching? I don't remember what the name of it, but it's David Spade, right? And he comes out. Even when he does his monologue, there's times where he'll crack a joke. And he goes, I don't even know what that meant. These guys write these for me or something. Yeah. Like. So even comedians have other comedians help write.
Exactly. And then the last thing here to close out the trash talk stuff, Glenn Robinson's daughters, they've told Colby Covington, don't use our father's death to promote UFC 245. Look, I think I'm going to side with them. It's just Colby is awesome. A really, really great fighter. He's only got one loss in the UFC. And I think he's only got – hell, I think he's only got one in his career. He's been an interim champ. He's beaten some really, really good fighters like Damian Maia when he was, you know, basically putting everyone else down. Former champ Robbie Lawler. He deserves his spot. He earned his spot. I think it's now just time to be Colby Covington and be a beast, and that's it. Like, you know what I mean? I don't think he needed to go down this line to get the Usman fight. He did it on his own merit. And if he's got some other one-liners, go out there. Go have some fun, Colby. I get it. But I think I side with those daughters. Just like, let that man rest in peace.
Now, at this point, he's gotten pretty much everything he needs. Now it's just all about performance. Yeah. He doesn't need any of that.
Yeah. All right. With that, we got to bounce. Folks, thanks so much for all your support. We really, really enjoy doing these shows. And please share them with all of your friends and family. You never know when you can make a new fan. And follow us on Twitter and Instagram. It's the same for both of us. At MMA Junkie George for me. At The Goes for The Goes. And the radio show is at MMA Junkie Radio. And with that, we're out of here. Go out there and be a champion.